You are listening to a message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For more information on City Church, or for additional resources, including service times, recommended readings, and additional audio, please visit citychurchpa.org.
Good morning, City Church. I want to thank you so much for joining us this morning, and if you're a guest with us, welcome. If you do not know me, my name is Raphael Mgandla, and I'm privileged to be the lead pastor here at City Church. And thank you so much for joining us. We pray that this will be a time of blessing and encouragement for you. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Ephesians. We are going through a series where we're looking at our Christian identity, and we believe this, that in times of crisis, it is very important to remember who we are and whose we are. We belong to Jesus Christ, and so this Christian identity is something to hold on to at all times, whether it's in the highs and it's in the lows of our lives. And so if you have your Bible, today we are looking at, because of Jesus, I am faithful. Because of Jesus, I am faithful. Look at Ephesians 1 verse 15, and it says this: "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." And you know, in this passage here, when you look at this in the scripture, we find Paul. Paul is talking to the church in Ephesus, and he is thanking them, and he's saying this: he has heard of the Ephesians' faith and their love for one another. And then all of a sudden, he becomes very thankful. That word "thankful" there speaks of this this constant thanksgiving before God, and not only that, thanksgiving. It's almost as if Paul is saying he is bragging on them. So every time he thought of them, about especially their faith and especially their love for one another, he was filled with thanksgiving and praise to God. Somehow Paul had heard about what they were doing. He had visited Ephesus at some point, and he had left them. And news came to him about their faith, and he could do nothing but be thankful for them. And in fact, as a church, as we're going and navigating through this crisis, let me begin by looking in and kind of following in this pattern that Paul is using in this time, and actually just really brag on you for a little bit. I hear what I've heard about your steadfastness. I know we are separated right now. What I've heard about your steadfastness has led me to be filled with thanksgiving. And so as we have been talking and as we've been asking each other how the gospel is anchoring each one of you during this time, I cannot help but be thankful. This time here is working together for our good in anchoring us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And not only that, when I hear about the way you are taking care of one another in the church and serving your communities and serving those that are around you, I cannot help but thank God for you. So City Church, I am so thankful for you for serving one another. And it's because I am listening in to what is going on. And this is the spirit that Paul has as he's hearing the news of what's going on in the church in Ephesus. And not only that, let me challenge you as well to fill up each other's hearts with this same spirit that Paul is using here, the same spirit of thankfulness when you observe some people having faith, exhibiting trust even in these times of crisis. Begin to thank God for them and encourage them as well. And not only that, when you begin to see others acting in a selfless way, in a Christ-like way, could you begin to thank God for them and begin to encourage them in that way. In fact, as I was preparing for this message, as I was preparing for this, I began to be filled with a longing for our church. And I this is the longing that many will hear of how we navigated through this crisis. And this is my longing. I am longing that the many that hear of how we were sustained during this time, that they would look back and they will be thankful for our faith. And they will be thankful for the way we took care of one another. And they'll be thankful for the way we took care of the church as a whole, and our communities as well. So Paul here was marveling at how the Ephesian church remained anchored no matter what was going on. And so if we're looking at this scripture, as you hear, he says this, he says this, for this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you were to ask, what made this church so unique? What made them so different? It is because they were anchored vertically. No matter whatever crisis was going on, they were anchored on Jesus, the author and the finisher of their faith. And Paul here says that he marvels at their faithfulness to Jesus. This word faithfulness is an active sense of putting our trust and confidence in the Lord. This is not a passive faith. This is literally a faith that is constant in the midst of all kinds of turbulence. And so it's almost like that plane that no matter what kind of winds come towards it, it remains constant in there. And so this is Paul marveling at the church in Ephesus that was surrounded by godlessness. It was surrounded by persecution because of exalting Christ. And if you remember in the book of Acts, it's when Paul has been preaching the gospel that all the idol makers, they begin to beat Paul. They begin to persecute Paul because Paul is taking them out of business. But Paul says this to the church in Ephesus, the same way John looks at the church in Ephesus in the book of Revelation and says, you have been strong. Paul looks at them and he marvels at the fact that they are a strong people. They have this active sense of holding on tight to Jesus and what he has done, no matter what circumstances. And that's what my longing is, that we will be remembered even during this time as a church that anchored itself and held on to Jesus. And their faith was outstanding, and they held on to God, to Jesus' promises, and they held on. They cried out to God during the times of crisis because they believed this one thing. Like Paul says in the letter to Corinth, he says they believe this, that all God's promises are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. And not only that, their faith was evident to many. Those around them saw them plant their roots in Christ, not in a system, but in a person, in Jesus Christ, the one that is ruling and reigning. And so what does this look like in our lives today? It looks like us praying, crying out to God, and when we're plagued by anxiety, when we find ourselves anxious about things about tomorrow, anxious about the fact that we're not working, the bills are coming, and anxious about losing healthcare, anxious about a lot of things around us, anxious about the enemy collapsing, anxious about our economy collapsing, then it is at this time when we begin to say, listen, we have a risen Lord who is seated on his throne, and we are going to plant our roots here. Our refuge is in him, and we will run to no other. But what we see here also is that we see them anchored horizontally as well. anchored in their love for one another. Paul says this, that he marvels at their faith in Jesus Christ, but then he also marvels at their love for the saints. And what does this mean here, church? He is marveling at their faithfulness. They had this active sense of loving one another. This is not a, I love you, take care of yourself. This is actually a love that resembles Christ. It's not a fuzzy feeling, but it's actually like this love that has a practical concern for the welfare of other people. It's this active love that is consistent, that is constant in the midst of these turbulent times. It's this love that has been tested by many trials and temptations, but it has remained constant even in the midst of these trials. And I want to encourage us, even as a church at this moment, to have this kind of outstanding love. And Paul says, I heard of your love. And church, as long as we anchor ourselves vertically, and then we begin to anchor ourselves horizontally, that we will become that kind of church that will testify of the gospel even during this time. Could I encourage you to be that kind of church? Like, and I know that this is a time when we're encouraged to be isolated as individuals, to be isolated and be in our homes, but let us not be spiritually isolated. Let us not be socially isolated. Let us be people that will have these deep concerns for one another, that will reach out to one another, check on one another, and make sure that we are praying for one another. I love prayer, because prayer is saying that, listen, I see what you're going through, and even if I cannot do anything about it, I am going to commit you in the hands of the one that can do something about it. For me, prayer is not a last resort. Prayer, in fact, is the chief resort to the children of God. Prayer, it means this, that even when everything is closed, for us as believers, we believe that the throne room of God is open. And so because of Jesus, we can be faithful in loving Jesus and with everything that we have, and we can be faithful in loving one another, drawing strength from Him. And so we can have this outstanding love for one another. And this is a love that he's talking about here. A love that was serving one another. Where the church was serving one another. And not only that, it was genuinely loving one another. It was not a substandard love. And I am charging you as a church to love one another in this manner. And this love was a love that was evident to many. And so I can see the many people that are coming, and they're talking about this church in Ephesus to Paul. And Paul has to break out in praise every single time he hears about this church. And for me, I began to ask God, could you make us that kind of a church that would have this genuine concern for one another? That would have this, where our good works outshine everything else. Where in this time where we're tempted to grumble, we begin to have this thing that Jesus talked about, where he says, in the same way, in Matthew chapter 5, 16, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And Jesus is going to pray in John 17 and he says this. As you have loved me, talking to his Father, I in them and me in them, let them love each other in the same manner. And so how do we keep on doing this? And Paul is going to be very clear here. And as Paul is looking and his ear hearing, he begins to fall on his knees and he begins to pray for them. what was keeping them going. How then are we going to keep on going in loving one another? Paul is going to point us to this very fact. And he says this, I never stop giving thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers, in verse 15, in verse 16. It says, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, you see, he begins to actually say, listen, I see what you're doing. I hear what you're doing. But in order for you to have a lasting difference, he begins to say, I'm going to commit you to the hands of the one who can sustain you to do these things. He says this, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, right, would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So Paul breaks into praying for them. In this prayer, Paul divulges that he believes that their faithfulness is going to be sustained by them getting to know Jesus even more and more. He says that, I marvel, I hear of your faith in Jesus. But then he says this, but I pray that you would know him more so that you would continue to know him more, and then your faith will even become more and more vibrant. I love what the book of Proverbs says this. It says this, that the path of the righteous is like the rising sun, getting brighter and brighter every single moment. And this is what Paul is praying for. He's praying that their faith will continue to grow in Jesus. And not only that, that their love for the saints would continue to grow. And he says it only happens when they keep Jesus as their center. And when you're looking here, and Paul says this, that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And saints, here what he is saying here is that what helps us to continue to anchor our love for Jesus in the times of crisis, or to continue to serve one another selflessly, is going to be knowing him. Not knowing about him. Not only just knowing about him. It's important to know about him. But knowing him as the ruling and reigning Christ. Knowing him more and more. I remember the day when I met my wife. I remember even the first day when we were at Bible school together. And I remember sitting at the front of our auditorium. And I remember she walked in and I set my eyes on her. And not only that, after that, I walked up to her, introduced myself to her, and we began to know each other. But this is what I have learned, that the worst thing I could ever do to my relationship with her is to put my relationship with her on cruise control. The worst thing that I could do is to put my relationship on cruise control. So I have for almost 10 years now being married, I keep on getting to know her. And I keep on getting blown away by knowing her more and more and more. This is the kind of knowledge that Paul is talking about here. He's saying, I know that you know Jesus, but I pray that you would know him more and more. That is going to be the fuel that's going to fuel you to knowing, to even praising him more. Not only that, to serving each other more and more. And that's going to fuel you to looking like Jesus more and more. And so Paul wants them to know the depth of Christ. He wants them to drill deeper. I heard it once say that the gospel for us, that the good news of Jesus is not a diving board. It's not a diving board. The gospel for us is literally the pool that we swim in. We go deeper and deeper into knowing him. And so Paul, he's going to say, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. that you will keep on getting to know why he called you. What is the wealth of his glorious inheritance in the saints? Right, that you have a glorious inheritance in Jesus. And that, listen, as much as you have seen its glory to a certain level, you will keep on seeing it even more and more in Christ. And he says this, what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believes, who believe? That you have not even tapped into much more of the power of what he has extended towards us. And what kind of power was that? According to the mighty working of his strength, he exercised this power in Christ by raising him from the dead, sitting him at his right hand in the heavens, and far above every ruler and over every authority, every power and every dominion, every title given, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. I love that. This is the power that you and I as believers have working inside within us and within us. And Paul says that I want you to keep on having this curiosity of this power. And church, this is the power that raised Christ from the dead. This is the power that raised him up and seated him above every principality, above every dominion, above every authority, above every power. And you know what, church? This is the power that raised him, that seats me and you, according to Ephesians 2, that seats me and you above even the coronavirus, above even the fear of death, above everything that threatens us, right? And I love this. And it says that this power raised him. And it sits him above every title given, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. It sits and it has conquered eternal life for us. And it says this, and God subjected him under his feet and appointed him, Jesus, as the head over everything for the church, which is his body. And so us as a church, we have this fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. So as a church, I want to encourage us in this way. If we are to be a church that will be remembered as a church that was never shaken in times of crisis, if we are to be a church that will be remembered as a church that where our love for one another thrived even in times of crisis. You know, in times of crisis, every single person begins to fight for their own family. But we have discovered this through the gospel that we are called the household of faith. You know, when you are at the store and you're watching everyone scrambling for toilet paper, nobody hands on toilet paper to the other because they're thinking about themselves. But here, what the Bible is encouraging us to do is to begin to look at Christ. And it is only when we look at Christ that's when we get filled with the love for those that are in the household of faith. And then we begin to see Christ who looked at us who were far away, who were alienated from his covenant, that were strangers to him. And but he drew us closer. That's when we begin to love those that are struggling around us. And so Paul is encouraging them, and he actually begins to commit them in the hands of God and begins to pray for them, that they will know the whole of Christ. And let me encourage you with this, that when you know Jesus Christ, it's like coming into the border of a country. But you cannot say you've exhausted a country when you, for example, in the United States, you come in, and if you see the Niagara Falls, unless you've gone and you've seen the Grand Canyon, and you've seen the Yellowstone, and you've seen all the other places, the parts of the country, you cannot say you know the United States. In the same way, we need to have the same curiosity of traveling and getting to know Christ more and more. So church, anchor yourself in this time of crisis vertically. Breathe in at every moment the gospel. Continue to know Jesus Christ and anchor yourself in Him and in His promises. Claim every promise that He has given to you. When you're anxious, be anxious about nothing, but in prayer and supplication, make His requests, your requests known to Him. And anchor yourself horizontally. Continue to encourage one another. In these times, these are not the times to scatter. These are the times to hold one another closer. Continue to drill deep in the gospel and loving one another. And we will look back at this and be thankful. You know why? Because we're constantly looking not at the storm. We're constantly looking at the one who sustains us. Just like the book of Psalms says, that our Lord is enthroned over the flood. That our Lord gives us strength and our Lord gives us peace. Let me pray for us. Jesus, I pray that even at this moment, God, many of us, as we are aware of the turbulent times, and times that are unsteady, and that, Lord, where we are aware of the fact that we have no control, where we are aware that, Lord, those that are great and those that are small are facing the same common enemy, the enemy of death, the enemy of anxiety, the enemy of being isolated, the enemy of feeling as if we have no control. But even at this moment, God, Lord, I pray for, first of all, for those that know You, that are Christians that are listening to me, that, Lord, they would continue to anchor themselves in You and continue to, Lord, to extend themselves in loving one another. But also, Lord, I pray, oh God, for those that are watching, Lord, that are scrambling, they're looking for peace. But Lord, that they would find their peace in You. And Lord, that they would find their peace in You, that in these times, that Lord, they would get a hold of the only one who's not shaken. Your government is not fearing collapsing at this time, because you are still seated on the throne. You are still sustaining us. And so, Lord, I pray for those that, Lord, are carrying the weight of their sins and the weight of their needs, that, Lord, even at this moment, they would lay them on You, and that, Lord, they would find that, Lord, in You, all Your promises are yes and amen. Let them surrender to You, God, by faith. Come to You with empty hands of faith and believe that, Lord, in You there is forgiveness, but there is also redemption, and there is adoption, and from this day onwards they can call You Abba Father. It's in Your name we pray.
Thank you for listening to this message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For additional information, please visit citychurchpa.org.